If you love what you hear, check out our authors Andrea Stewart and N.A. Fulton on Amazon.com, and be sure to subscribe to our Dark Romance Novels and Stories podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast provider. Learn more about us at audioiron.com.
Ruined. An important author's foreword for a very dangerous romance. As we dive into Ruined, I need to warn you, this is a ménage à trois romance. And not the pleasantly erotic type where people spend all their time in bed. This is a story of a young woman falling out of 18th century society. It has violence, forced seduction, and other elements that may well trigger you if you've had similar experiences. This daring romance also has two very dangerous male protagonists who are entirely men of their time. If you like dark romances, you will likely find it quite enjoyable. It has earned many 4 and 5 star reviews from its dark romance readers in the past. If you enjoy sweet romance, you will probably find other books elsewhere far more engaging. If you are undecided, it may help if I talk a little bit more about this book and why I wrote it. Ruined is a romance set in London circa 1750, and Jane Eyre is set nearly a century later in a variety of other English places. On the surface, it may seem the two books have nothing in common, but I wrote Ruined because I read Bronte's book in my early teens. It hit me like a ton of bricks, and for me it defines what a romance novel is. In writing Ruined, I had to think hard about the elements that made Jane Eyre such an important book to read. To begin with, Jane lived in a time when people starved to death on a pretty regular basis. I think one reason authors write so often about Victorian England is that the aristocrats and the upper class were ranting about honor and morality while millions around them died from cold, hunger and disease they could have done far more to alleviate. One doesn't see that level of irony often. Or at least one didn't used to. In Jane's era, girls cast out of their families could well expect to end up selling themselves to strangers on London streets or dying in one of the many workhouses scattered all over the countryside which were specifically designed to take care of human refuse like them. It is sad to say, but Jane's aunt, Sarah Reed, made some predictable and cruelly rational decisions when it came to dealing with a toddler dropped on her doorstep. Jane came to Sarah because Jane's mother and father died from typhus. And how did they contract typhus, you may ask? By nursing the poor, which illustrates what a horrible idea that was. Jane's uncle, Sarah's husband, took Jane in because he was overkind. Then he had the ill grace to die. So Sarah, now stuck with a child she's no blood relation to, who is neither attractive nor docile, decides to end his folly once and for all. Sarah ships Jane off to boarding school and gets on with the rest of her life. Now Jane is just another inmate at Lowood School, for which she really has to be grateful because they feed her, sometimes, between beatings. Sarah could have dropped the child off on a street corner in some London slum after all. If Jane could just understand she has nothing, and deserves nothing, all would be well. Thus Headmaster Brocklehurst is almost doing his job when he tries to teach Jane her place. At last he manages to make her position very clear by letting her watch her gentle friend, Helen Burns, die from typhus without treatment. Jane learns, and we learn with her, that the world she lives in really cares nothing about people like her at all. Jane learns her lesson so well she spends the next 8 years at Lowood School, transitioning seamlessly from student to teacher. It is only her obstinate nature that leads her to seek a life in a wider world. Really, she has no business applying for a job as a governess working for a wealthy man who has no wife but does have a small child. How on earth can she expect that to end well? Nevertheless, Jane goes to aptly named Thornwood Manor only to discover another girl child living on the ragged edge of society. Adele, probably the bastard child of Mr. Rochester, is being raised by him quite grudgingly. We are meant to think of our hero quite kindly for bringing this little girl into his home. And maybe we should, given his class and the time. But until Jane arrives, Mr. Rochester has rarely, if ever, given a kind word to Adele. Over the course of the book, it becomes clear that Mr. Rochester plans to marry Blanche Ingram. It also becomes clear that Blanche will give neither Jane nor Adele a home. Blanche and Jane's Aunt Sarah are clearly quite sensible women with much in common. And here it is worth mentioning that Rochester is not a nice man. He has a crazy wife locked up in his attic, He's romancing an heiress he has no right to marry, and he's letting little Jane fall for him hard and hopelessly. He makes crazy decisions over and over again, they wreak havoc for everyone, but it is clear he feels his wealth and position entitle him to a life he feels is worth living. And, amazingly, we and Jane do, actually, end up feeling pretty sorry for Rochester when his crazy wife burns his house down and blinds him, even though he's caused nothing but misery for any woman who has ever loved him, especially said wife. What a wonderful book. Because when you read it you have to think hard about who deserves a good life and why, who should be supported free for how long and at what personal cost, and what you would do in some quite unenviable positions. Jane Eyre has always been a romance to me. Which brings us all to Ruined. Ruined is set a century before Jane Eyre, but its characters live in the same kind of universe. Elizabeth Beckenham's heroes are powerful, confident, determined and wealthy. They understand their position completely. They feel no particular compassion for the waifs and strays of the world. They are not compelled to protect them or treat them kindly. Taking on the task is an unthinkable waste of their time and a ridiculously dangerous enterprise to boot. They make a clear distinction between Elizabeth and the women they have a duty to protect, like wives and daughters. She is, quite simply, another kind of animal entirely. Whatever she might have been led to expect, whatever might have been the case if her father hadn't died, the intelligent, kind, insightful, well-educated Elizabeth is not of their class and never will be. These men simply expect her to accept her place. It's always a bit dangerous when an author discusses a book they've written with people who haven't read it. Sometimes the discussion reveals too much and sometimes it makes readers think the book will be about something it's not. Ruined is just a dark historical romance. If you like serious romance novels set in 18th century England, you will probably like Ruined. It is no Jane Eyre, but it has a compelling heroine, a great hero, and a second great hero who you will love and hate almost as much as the first. I must confess that Elizabeth, David and Adam are as real to me as my family and friends. I like to believe Bronte felt the same way about Jane Eyre, Sarah, and Mr. Rochester. Thousands of people have read Ruined and I get more correspondence about it than I do about any other work I've ever written. Whether you like Ruined or not, I suspect we can both agree that most of the most important stories on earth are romances. That's because they talk about the only things that really matter. Thank you for taking a chance on the book by listening to it. I do hope it turns out to be something you enjoy. Andrea Stewart. July 2020. Voice recording copyright 2020 by Nancy Fulton. All rights reserved. Music by Johnny Blake, licensed from Pond 5. Visit audioand.com to find the best in audio fiction. Mm-hmm.